throughout the summer. Now we're going to read God's Word. And would you please turn to John 16. And we're going to read from John 16, verses 5 through 27. Excuse me, John 14. I had the wrong bet. John 14. Verses 15 through 27. John 14. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Take note of that passage. It's very, very important. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Anyone who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." That's the answer to Judas's request. What about the world? He says, "We will come to the world if they obey my teaching. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So, I'm going to talk about one, two, three, four things about this passage. To set the context, of course, is to say that the disciples, having spent 3 years with Jesus, walked with him, seen him do amazing things, amazing teaching, teaching that had authority, feeding the 5,000, healing the sick, raising the dead, were built with anticipation and excitement about the Messiah, because they were convinced he was the Messiah. And he would absolutely, with all the power and all the truth that we have seen these past 3 years, now bring into existence the Messianic age. And Israel will be restored, and the kingdom of God, which Jesus talked a lot about, will be established once again. And just like the rule of David and the rule of Solomon will take place, so we will now recreate that glorious kingdom of Israel, and we will all take our places on the throne, and the Romans will just disappear and be defeated. And in light of all of that anticipation, Jesus comes to them on the night of his betrayal and says, "I really want to tell you something that's really important for you to hear. I'm leaving." I go, "One more time. I'm leaving. There will come a time when you will no longer see me. I will not be here anymore." And the disciples go, oh, no, 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 no. Back it up. Back it up. Now, now, now. I know, Jesus, you talk a lot about things in parables and, you know, imagery and so on. But, you know, you can't leave. Obviously, we're on the verge of really a big event. And boom, you're gone. You know, you come to church, you know, and all of a sudden the pastor gets up there and says, well, I'm sure you're here ready to hear the word of God, but sorry, I got a tee off time at 2 o'clock and I'm out of here. No, no, this didn't fit. And then Jesus says, he says, okay, not only am I leaving, but it's better for you that I leave than if I stay. This is going to be better for you if I leave. And now the disciples are going, ah, boy. Jesus gets us stumped a lot, but one more time, Jesus? Yes, Jesus says, it will be better for you if I leave. You know, so clearly, what was he saying? And what he was clearly saying was that I am going to leave, but I am not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you as a parentless body of people. There's four things that my leaving is going to accomplish. And of course, the first thing is that I am going to, and my Father is going to, when I leave, send another advocate. I'm going to send another advocate. And the advocate that I'm going to send is another counselor, another deity that will come alongside of you. Parakletos is the Greek word that means called to be, come alongside, God alongside of us. Just like I've been alongside of you in these past 3 years, so also I will be coming back to you. But God is sending a different advocate, a different person of the Trinity to be alongside of you. And he will do amazing things through you. But he is going to be invisible. You won't see him. He won't be physical like me. I'm here, body, bones, blood and bones. He won't be physical. He is a spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. And he is coming. And here are the four things that he is going to do. First thing he do, he's going to complete your salvation. Okay? If I leave and I go back to the Father and ascend on the day of ascension and go to the right hand of the throne of God and am coronated as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, what will have happened in that moment is that humanity as it's represented in me, Jesus, will be restored into perfect fellowship with God once again. And I will be God-man at the right hand of God. And just as Adam and Eve were able to rule the world in their perfect state, so I will rule the world as God-man and the Son of God. And humanity will be reconciled fully to God in me. And you will all follow in time to that. So the salvation which I have come to establish for you, which is the forgiveness of sin, because the wrath of God will have been taken care of, been satisfied by my death, and God will look and say, justice has been served. Now anyone who trusts that sacrifice for the death that you deserve will be seen in my eyes as perfectly righteous. And if you are in my eyes perfectly righteous, you too can join me in the new creation, in the new life, and take on, just as Jesus is an heir of that, you too are co-heirs, as Paul said. So the salvation that we really need would have not been completed if Jesus had stayed on earth, even in his resurrected state. He had to return to God, so humanity once again was elevated to the status of perfect fellowship with God, and we with him. Him first, we will follow. The second thing that's going to be happening, if I leave, Jesus says, is that the Spirit will come, and by the Spirit being here, everybody on the planet will have access to me. If I'm here just as Jesus, flesh and bone, even in resurrected state, then you get in line, take a number, and we'll get through the list, but it's one-on-one. But no, if I leave and the Holy Spirit comes, then Jesus says, as I was asked by Judas, will you not show yourself to the world? He says, yeah, I will. Anyone who loves me and obeys my teaching, my Father and I will come to them and we will make our home with them. Huh? What? They're moving in? Yeah, we're moving in. Because you see, the advocate that's coming, the Holy Spirit that's coming, isn't going to be physical. He is a spirit and he will indwell in you. Now we're going to talk about that in a minute. What is this mystical connection with a spirit? Wow, how does that work? But that's what the Bible tells us, that the Holy Spirit has come to live within us. We are now the new temple. Jesus says, I will take this temple and destroy it and rebuild it in 3 days. Well, the Jews all thought he was talking about the brick and mortar. Jesus wasn't talking about that. He was talking about the temple that God would dwell in once it is sanctified and glorified by the forgiveness of God. There's where the Holy Spirit can dwell, because there's no stench of sin anymore in us who are righteous in Christ. Now, me, I know, you know, but by me righteous, I don't think I'm that righteous. That's true, you're not. But in God's eye, through your faith in Jesus, you are as white as snow. And so you may have that fellowship, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit can come and do his work. And God is now available to everybody at once. Billions of people can be worshiping God in this very moment, and Jesus will have been present in everybody's life at the same time. You know, the Pope, there's only one Pope, right? Now, I thank God for the Pope because I think he's a spokesman for faith and for truth for the world that is needed. But there's only one Pope, and he's over in Italy. He lives in a big, big stone building. And if you want to get in to see the Pope, pick a number. Take a number, and we'll see. You may never get in, because he's only one person. Something wrong with that picture, which we won't go into, but the point is that with the Holy Spirit, God is now accessible to everyone. That's why Jesus says, it's better. It's better that I leave. But I will return, but I won't return for now in flesh and blood, in bone. I will return in spirit. The third thing, of course, is that this brings us into a spiritual union with God. Now, I wish I understood that better than I do, but I don't understand it fully. What is it like to be in a spiritual union with another being? You know, Judy and I, we've been married, how many, about 30 years? Yeah. 52? When? What will August be? 53, right? Yeah, okay, all right. All right. You know what? And you know what? We, amazing how this happens, but you can read your wife's mind at times, you know? And she can read my mind. She says, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. Well, how does that happen? Well, you know, all that familiar living together, you know, we pretty much learn what's important to her and what isn't important and et cetera, et cetera. So we almost can feel like a union between us. It's like mental telepathy or something. It's a way in which I participate in your presence, but it's not physical. It's mental. Or now what Jesus is telling us, no, it goes beyond mental. It goes to spiritual. There's a verse, Romans 8, verse 16, that says, the Holy Spirit testifies to our spirit that we are children of God. So there's this little conversation going on inside of me, and it's the Holy Spirit talking to the spirit of Ken Nightam, and it's saying, you are my child. I don't feel it. I don't hear it. I just know it. The closest thing I can kind of come to it is, in a human sense, is what we call intuition. I intuitively know what God is telling me. And I don't need a voice. I don't need a physical person in front of me saying it to me. I just know that I know that I know. And that's called the internal testimony of the Holy Spirit. There's a spiritual connection, and Jesus says that. He says, won't be long. Because I live, you will live, and on that day you will live. He says, I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And in chapter 15, I am the true vine, and you are the branches. And everyone who abides in me, just like a branch abides into the vine, so you abide in me. There's a union. Now, what I really want to emphasize is that can't say that I understand all that. I just know that it's the biblical truth and it's real, and I experience it. I had an experience just the other day where I was considering sending back something to Amazon that I didn't work, you know. And but the point is that the part they sent me, part of it worked, but the other part that I already had didn't work. And I said, well, I'll just send them back the one that didn't work. And I'm thinking, I don't know, that's really quite copacetic at all if I do that. Well, what the Holy Spirit was saying, Ken, careful now. You know, integrity? Oh, of course. Sorry. I'm going to keep the parts, and we'll just throw them in the closet. And Amazon, it's not their fault. Little things like that, as simple as little things like that, but how did I hear a voice? No, I just had the unity of the Spirit with my unity with the Holy Spirit, who has a unity with Jesus the Spirit and God the Father, who is Spirit, and we were all working together, and somehow it all brought us to a decision. I'm not going to put that in the mail. I'm going to keep it and live with a broken piece. You know, I don't understand it. I just know that it's true. I also know that my brother Jack, who died at age 68 of a heart attack, just all of a sudden woke up one morning and jumped out of bed, fell on the floor, dead. Jack's gone, but is he really? No. The Bible teaches us his spirit is with God. His spirit is with God, and God is spirit. And they're up wherever heaven is and whatever heaven is, that is a bunch of spirits communing and celebrating and rejoicing, living a blissful existence in the presence of God. And somehow Jesus, even in his resurrected body, is up there participating. We don't understand all those things. God doesn't give us the information. He just says, believe it. So that when Jesus says, I'm leaving, he says, I'm leaving so that there can be a union between you and I that doesn't require flesh and bone. It's spirit to spirit. And as a result, we can have unity. You know, I think one of the things that is important about the struggle that the church is facing is, who's going to be around at the river a year from now? And I don't suspect everybody will be here. And there'll be a lot, maybe other people there that aren't here now. But what will unite you is the Holy Spirit all in you and Him all in us. And the koinonia that we're going to experience after the little meal that Jan has provided is a way for us to say we are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. I wish I had better language and better ways to illustrate that, but I guess the other thing I would say about that spiritual union is that it's clear that God works from the inside out. And that's one of the things that completed our salvation, that God says, you know, up to now I've been parting the Red Sea, and I've been smoke and fire on Mount Sinai, and miracles, and feeding the 5,000, and there's a lot of things on the outside that have given you a reason to believe in me. But you know what? A lot of people have seen those things, and they go, still don't believe. I'm going to work from the inside of you outward. You know, if I said to you, chocolate ice cream is really good. Chocolate. Anybody have a favorite? Chocolate? Yeah. Particularly if it's that French vanilla stuff, whatever. But the point is that I can show you a bowl of chocolate ice cream. I can dip my spoon in it. I can show you how creamy it is. You can even smell it and so on. All kinds of ways in which you could learn about that bowl of chocolate ice cream. Man, there's tons of ways you can understand. You can do it, it's filled with cream and sugar and cocoa. And you could learn so much. But what's a better way to really, really, really understand what chocolate ice cream is like? Eat it. Put it on the inside. Right? Put it on the inside. Start from the inside. Put it in there. And let it do its magic inside your mouth and inside your soul as you enjoy. And God is saying, I want to be on the inside of you and work outward to sanctify you bit by bit, piece by piece, year by year, into the image of my Son. And so that's why it's better that I leave. The final thing is to say that we have been left with a peace. And he says, the peace that I'm leaving you with is not like the world gives. It's the peace that comes from believing this truth. Believing that let me find here where I wrote that. Where I have been given a relationship with God that is fully reconciled, and so he sees me as a child of his, loved precious, and His providential care is over my life in ways that I don't understand. Big ways and little ways. He sends His angels to help me. And even when the bad things of life happen, I know that He hasn't abandoned me. But even those things, He can work good for my life out of them, because His covenantal, providential care is there. And He has promised me that I am eternally secure and sound and safe, because He has planned a future that includes a new earth and a new body and a new fellowship with Him that is unlike anything we can even imagine. So basically, no matter what happens to you in your life, if you're a child of God, your situation is fundamentally very good and will always be very good. In fact, for eternity, it will be always very good. So I have peace. I have peace. And that's the peace that I have, even in the time of my struggle and my pain, which can be pretty awful. But even then, we are not defeated. We're struck down, but not defeated. So, it's good that Jesus left, because He sent another advocate that has accomplished some things that had to be accomplished, but it's accomplished through being inside us and bringing it out. Not only to our own awareness, but the awareness of the world who's watching us and seeing if we really are what we say we are. That's what Pentecost is about. That's what the Holy Spirit coming has accomplished. And is that accomplished in you? Do you sense this union with God that is spiritual? And is He producing those things that we talked about in you? He wants to. Let Him yield, submit. Let's pray. Thank You, Lord, for Your word as we hear it. And now, Lord, help us to go out and live it and to understand what You are doing in us, Holy Spirit. We thank You and we love You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.